Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast, your go-to source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We hope you tune in often for all things people management, organizational development and change, organizational leadership, and social impact related. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with Human Capital Innovations Podcast. Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. In this HCI podcast episode, I talk with Josh Millett about the importance of emotional intelligence in leadership in the modern workplace. Josh Millett, welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast.
Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have this conversation. As we got connected and I was preparing for this episode, I was just so fascinated by aspects of your bio and your background, your academic background, and your expertise as you've moved into the business world and doing some really amazing things. So I'll share more about that with listeners in just a moment. But today we're going to be focusing on the importance of emotional intelligence in leadership and the modern workplace. I think this is an incredibly important topic. It's something that should resonate with listeners. And I think any leader should be thinking about how can they manage and enhance and improve their own emotional intelligence, but also how can they help their people to do the same so that we can all work more effectively together and collaborate more efficiently and innovate and do all those things that will help the organization be more successful. As we get started, I just wanted to share Josh's bio with everyone. Josh Millett is founder and CEO of the Los Angeles-based Criteria, a pre-employment assessment company with a simple goal to help organizations make better hires. Founded in 2006, the company touts over 20 million assessments administered globally and has helped organizations make objective, data-driven hiring decisions that lead to better business outcomes with its scientifically validated assessments across multiple dimensions, including aptitude, personality, and skill. On average, Criteria has helped organizations increase their hiring success rates by an average of 52%, reduce turnover by 48%, and generate 25% more revenue. And that's incredible. Those are incredible outcomes. Prior to launching Criteria, Josh co-founded an online test preparation company, Number2.com, which was acquired by XAP Corp in 2002. Josh holds a PhD in history from Harvard, where he was a Fulbright scholar and a Mellon fellow. Emotional intelligence and why it's very much needed when hiring candidates in this day and age of remote working is really his focus, his area of expertise, and I'm just so excited to have Josh on today. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you, John. Thanks for that great intro.
And I have to say, we're both kind of the scholar practitioner kind of orientation. My PhD is in sociology, not in history, but certainly there's some overlap, in terms of social sciences there. And I was a Fulbright scholar twice over in Belarus and Indonesia. Where did you do your Fulbright?
Really cool. I was in Paris, so a little less off the beaten track.
Yeah, very, very cool. Well, as we get started, is there anything else you would like to share with listeners by way of personal background or professional background or context for the topic?
Absolutely. Yeah. As you mentioned, my background, John, is actually in history, but both the companies that I've been involved with over the last 20 years have been focused on assessment, either from an educational perspective or now more in the corporate space, obviously. So you might ask, well, what business do I have, talking about psychological assessments? Both my co-founders are psychologists. And so I was fortunate enough to make friends with a bunch of psychologists in grad school. I don't know if that means that they were more fun than historians or not, but that's the group I gravitated to. And so I've learned a lot from them and now being in the corporate assessment space for almost 20 years.
Yeah, well, that's really great. And, you know, we share some interest in some work in that area as well. I also have done quite a bit in terms of psychometrics and assessment, generally across organizations for various organizational, you know, issues and outcomes, but also specifically in the pre-screening and hiring process, onboarding and those sorts of things. So it's a really important area. And frankly, there's a lot of organizations out there that do it, but they don't do it very well. And so when you find a company and you find a tool that works really well, I think it's something to be highlighted and you know, so the organizations can make better decisions. And in this day and age where, you know, we have so much technology to assist in these types of HR related practices, that we need to leverage it. We need to utilize it.
Absolutely. Yeah. We like to call it evidence-based HR, you know, and historically we've been focused, as you mentioned, John, really on that pre-hire space. So sort of helping with what I like to think of as the most important kind of talent decision that companies are making, which is the one right up front, you know, who to hire. We are beginning to expand out into post-hire. You mentioned onboarding. I think that's an area where assessments can have real value as well. And so we're launching a team building and a product soon that will be more oriented around growth and development. But most of our work to date in the last 12 years has been on that pre-hire employee selection space. And so that's where we've really been focused. We actually just got into emotional intelligence much more recently. We acquired a company in Australia right before COVID called Revelion, and they've really been a leader in game-based assessments. And specifically, one of their assessments that we were really interested in is called Emotify, which is a game-based assessment of emotional intelligence. So kind of one of the first of its kind there. And that I think is going to be really useful as we move beyond pre-hire into, you know, post-hire and learning and development type of use cases for assessments.
Yeah, very cool. What a interesting way to do emotional intelligence assessment. If I'm understanding correctly, it's game-based.
That's right. Yeah, it uses a series. It's about a 15 to 20 minute assessment, and it takes the user through a series of kind of interactions where you're reacting to different facial expressions on the part on the screen that you see, and then in the context of specific scenarios, you're reacting to them as well. So, you know, obviously one of the foundational pieces of EI is the self-awareness, the piece, the ability to perceive and understand emotions. And so a lot of the assessment is focused on that. And then it gets into a little bit of the applied part of it, which is the other part of EI, of course.
Very cool. And actually, let's back up just a moment. I suspect most listeners understand what EI is, but do you mind just sharing a quick kind of overview of emotional intelligence, what it is, and why it's important for organizations?
Sure, yeah. So I would describe it, I think, a really good general definition, because there are sort of competing views of what it is, but I think one that most people are aligned around is that EI involves the ability to perceive and understand and use and manage our emotions and our relationships with others. So those are the sort of four pieces that I think people are aligned around. So kind of self-awareness, self-management, and then social awareness and relationship management. So half of it is kind of about knowing yourself and knowing your own emotions. And the second is being aware and helping to manage the emotions of those around you.
Yeah, and I hope for obvious reasons, like we all understand, and listeners, as you're hearing that description, you know, why this would be so important for leaders to have high levels of emotional intelligence based on the type of work that they're doing and the constant interactions that they're having, not just with their people and their teams and trying to get the most out of their teams, but also the ability the capability that leaders need to have to connect across the organization. And understand and work in cross-functional and cross in interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary types of ways. I think it's just so important that leaders develop that skill. And it's something that can be developed over time if you're focused on it, if you're aware of what's driving you and how you respond to different stimuli and those sorts of things, you can learn to be to respond in more effective, more constructive types of ways to the different scenarios that you find yourself in. And the more, like you said, the more we understand ourselves, the more we will be capable of understanding others, and the more we can model good emotional intelligence behaviors and also help our people to do the same. So it's super important for organizations really across all levels to have a high level of emotional intelligence and for leaders, I think in particular. Let's talk a little bit more about emotional intelligence in the hiring process. And so you're doing these pre-screenings, you're trying to figure out a range of things as you're doing these pre-screening assessments. Why emotional intelligence at that stage?
Yeah, sure. So I think you hit the nail on the head, John. So, you know, initially when EI became a concept that people were aware of, you know, 15 or 20 years ago, I think for a while, you know, the hype got ahead of the science in terms of the research that was done there. It was sort of hailed by some people as, you know, a panacea for everything in the workplace. And as more and more research comes out, it's been shown that it's not appropriate to select for emotional intelligence in all roles, right? There are some where it's more important and more predictive. And you really went to the heart of it with leadership. So there's a growing body of evidence that in managerial positions or roles where you're managing people, that EI can really be a helpful predictor of outcomes. Also in roles that involve a lot of interaction with people that aren't managerial roles. So things like sales people or customer service or any service type roles can be really important. There's also evidence that in certain roles it's counterproductive to have high EI. So it's not something that universally should be used across the board. But when you have a position that involves you know, interacting and relating to people, managing people, that's where it can be most effective and most predictive. And that's where a lot of the cool studies are being done in terms of, you know, EI as a predictor of outcomes in the workplace is really more on the managerial level, more on those roles that involve a lot of social interaction. And that's what like the big meta analyses have shown is that it's particularly important and relevant in some of those areas. And so that's how we try to encourage its use. You know, there's also, I mean, there's a lot of other things you can measure through assessments in the selection area. So things like cognitive or behavioral assessments, even skills assessments, which there's not quite as much science behind that last group. They're more more of a thing you'd use with certain positions just to know that certain skills are there. But, you know, in combination with cognitive and behavioral assessments, EI can be a really great thing to explore in the selection process because it does give you that other layer. And we know, for example, that being very smart or having good cognitive ability is really effective up to a point. But beyond that, you look at leaders across a lot of organizations, a lot of them are smart. And so if you're looking for that incremental validity, we call it, you know, EI can be really valuable there because it can explain why someone who's very smart succeeds in a managerial role and someone else who's also smart does not. And the difference can be those EI factors.
I'm excited to announce the publication of my new book from HCI Press, The Alchemy of Truly Remarkable Leadership, Ordinary Everyday Actions That Produce Extraordinary Results. Consider how the nature of work has shifted over the past 50 years. With increased globalization, rapid technological advancement, and the shift in economic composition, the average job of today looks very different than the average job of 50 years ago. What will the jobs and organizations of tomorrow look like? Moreover, what does this all mean for organizational leaders? What are the core competencies and capabilities of organizations and their leadership that are prepared for continued disruption and geopolitical and socioeconomic shifts? Regardless of what the future holds, increasingly, leaders need to be socially minded, data-driven, decisive, champions of talent, and disruptors of the traditional notions of leadership, teams, organizations, and work. The Alchemy of Truly Remarkable Leadership
will help you to explore your own leadership competencies and capabilities and consider ways to apply and implement them into your workplace and personal life.
Yeah, and I appreciate you acknowledging, you know, the appropriate usage, you know, of different metrics in the screening process, because that's absolutely true. And, you know, we could extend that to, for example, personality assessments. They can be useful in a lot of ways, but there are also there are many times where it's not appropriate to use them, right? And so just acknowledging that, recognizing when it's going to be more helpful and productive, and actually, I mean, ultimately the goal is to make better hiring decisions based on skills, knowledge, ability, capability, exactly, and fit, and get the right people, you know, into the organization, so and then have better retention because there's a better fit, right? That's ultimately the goal, and we want to use these types of assessments in a way that will allow us to accomplish that.
That's exactly right. The most important thing, if you're thinking about using assessments, either in the hiring process or at other points in the employee lifecycle, is test selection, really. Because if you don't choose the right assessments, you're probably not going to have good outcomes, no matter how well validated the assessments are. And the key concept there that we like to speak to our customers about is job relatedness. You know, you need to be measuring things that you know are job related. And that's why EI is more effective in some roles and not that helpful in others. You know, if you think about a managerial role or a leadership role, it just makes sense that interacting with other humans, you know, getting the most out of them, empathizing when appropriate, is a key driver of outcomes. And so that's one of the most important things when you're implementing any kind of assessment, whether it's EI or otherwise, is just making sure that the stuff you're measuring in the assessment is stuff that's important to the role. So it seems like a basic concept, but sometimes people forget that.
Yeah, amen. It is kind of a basic concept, but people mess that up all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's why they hire people like you and me to come in and help them with their screenings and their assessments and their surveys and stuff, because, you know, it sometimes just is a little counterintuitive to how, you know, people think, you know, what people think might work.
We have
to be careful. Yeah.
Yeah. Or they have like the name of an assessment that they've used or known and want to use it in all situations, where a lot of the things we assess for are context specific or job specific. So it's an important rule of thumb is, you know, start with the job and move out from there in terms of assessing competencies or things that will predict success in the role.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious what your take is on like the current dynamic that we're in. You know, there's a global pandemic. There's, at least in the US, I think globally as well, but particularly in the US right now, where there's kind of a contentious political environment, and we have broader, you know, stresses and anxieties around just societal elements at the moment, right? So there's all these strains being put on businesses and being put on leaders, and more people working remotely. What do you think the role is of emotional intelligence in leading a remote workforce or an increasingly remote workforce, and how can it be, you know, better utilized, you know, at a time like this?
Yeah, it's a fascinating time, right? I think that, you know, because we speak to HR executives and leaders every day, and the two big things that I think they're dealing with that are not necessarily new, but certainly the scale and scope of them is new, is that remote work factor, obviously, that a lot of people are operating under. And because of all the social upheaval in the country, there's also a really big focus on bias and how to remove bias from your hiring process. And I actually tend to think, my own view is that second one may be the more lasting one. You know, you hear so much about how remote work is transforming things, and it certainly is. And I don't think that will change, you know, post-vaccine or, you know, post-COVID. I think there will be more remote work happening than there was before. We've passed a critical threshold there. But I also think that the focus on removing bias is going to be incredibly enduring in HR circles. I've had more conversations with D&I people, with diversity and inclusion people, in the last 6 months than I did in the 10 previous years, you know, of operating the business. There's just a real focus on using tools that can help remove bias. There's an awareness of unconscious bias. And so I think that is all very good and will drive improvements in the future. I think assessments have a big role to play there. But with respect to remote work, I think EI is really interesting. I think, you know, remote work brings all these new and unique challenges, because if you think about it, right, John, the ingredients that I guess inform someone's EI, so many of them come from like subtle social clues, like body language and mannerisms that are harder to pick up over Zoom or, you know, in a remote work setting. So some people will thrive in those remote settings and others will struggle. And it's, especially for managers, it's more important than ever, I think, for managers to have high EI, right? In order that they can kind of recognize that people are having different reactions to this new environment, to better support those who are struggling or need help. And, you know, living where we work, I mean, I can attest to this even in my house with my kids on Zoom for school and two young kids. And, it creates new stressors for a lot of people, and family obligations can interfere with work. And so I think that where EI can help there is just that, you know, recognizing and empathizing with this new lived reality that we're all in is really vital. And the final thing I'd say there too is that, you know, remote work places more emphasis on the written word. So we're doing all this stuff by email that we might have just popped into someone's office to do beforehand. And so another big application of EI, I think, in that remote scenario is kind of recognizing what kinds of communications can be handled by email or chat and which ones are better handled, if not in person, because that may not be possible, but at least by video. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's probably more important than ever to have high levels of EI as you're trying to, you know, keep tapped into the pulse of your workforce, especially if they're remote and you're not having as many typical, you know, casual interactions or just like those little touch points. And it does speak though to, you know, perhaps the value of just jumping on quick, you know, Zoom calls to touch base with somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're writing out an email, you know, I'm not one for like scheduling all sorts of extra meetings. I'm not saying that,
right.
But you know, just informal, like hop on, take a few minutes, touch base, similar to how you might have just popped into someone's office for a minute previously. You can create the norms, you know, for your team about what's appropriate, you know, in terms of how you do those pop-ins and stuff. But I think it's helpful to be able to see facial expressions. It's helpful to be able to read body language and tone of voice and those sorts of things, you know, as we're trying to gauge anxiety levels, stress levels, burnout, you know, all that kind of stuff with our teams.
Yeah, email is just really a flat medium, you know, it doesn't convey nuance well. And I think that, you know, good leaders need to recognize when email is not the right tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Josh, I want to be respectful of your time. I know you have other stuff you need to get off to, but before we close today, I wanted to make sure I gave you a chance to share with listeners how they can get connected with you, find out more about your business. And just give us the last word on this issue.
Yeah, thanks. So if people want to check out our assessments we've created a lot of great content in the area of EI as well. The best way to do that is through our website, which is criteriacorp.com. You can also take a look at all the other assessments we have there, read about Emotify, which is our new game-based assessment. You can also find me on LinkedIn. But criteriacorp.com is probably the best place to get more information.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Josh. It's really been a pleasure to connect and have this discussion. And we really do have so many touch points of commonality and overlap in our background and in our passions and the type of work that we do. I hope that listeners will reach out to Josh, get connected, find out more about what Criteria can do for you. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope everyone has a great rest of their week. Thank you.
We are excited about the launch of HCI's new magazine, Human Capital Leadership. Human Capital Leadership is a free, interactive e-magazine designed to help individuals, leaders, and organizations find innovative approaches to maximize their human capital potential. We will be publishing issues quarterly in August, November, February, and May. Check out the first issue and let us know what you think. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. I hope you stay healthy and safe, and that you have a great week.